Verse I wanted to focus on this morning was in verse 22 where the Bible read, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." And in verse 22, I really like this verse because it really emphasizes, in my mind, something that's good. It says, "A merry heart doeth good." It's giving you a remedy, a way to feel better. What is medicine? Medicine is something that makes you feel better. It cures something that felt bad. It's kind of a remedy. Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 15 and look at verse number 15. Hey, Brother Jerry, can you turn me down just a hair up here? It's like, it's just like a voice of many waters, you know. It says in verse number 15, it says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." And I think some people, they spend their whole lives where they're either one of these two people. They're either constantly in a state of affliction or they're constantly in a state of a merry heart. And the reality is, no matter what's going on in your life, there's plenty of good and there's plenty of bad. There's plenty of things to be very angry about and there's plenty of things to take a lot of joy in. And really, the difference is not whether good or bad is happening to you. It's rather how you perceive those things. There we go. Thank you. So there's a difference between the person that's constantly looking at life as afflictions, and there's another difference between the person that's constantly looking at life with a merry heart. They're constantly looking at life as something that's joyous. Now, go if you would to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. What is merry? Merry is something that is cheerful. It's lively. It's fun to be around people that are very cheerful. They're very lively. They have a lot of life to them. They have a smile on their face. It's pleasant to be around these type of people. The person that you come around and it's like their life is just a constant affliction. Oh, I had to get up this morning and I had to eat breakfast and I had to drive and there was traffic. It's like, have you ever driven here before? It's traffic every single day. Some people, they just go through their whole life and everything's an affliction. Everything's just bad. And then there's other people, they just have a merry heart. The Bible says their life's just a continual feast. It's just everything is great. Everything's going well. And this is an important attribute that we could have in ourselves and to work on. And look, nobody's perfect. Nobody is, in my mind, just always happy or just always sad. We need a good balance in our lives. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." So in our lives, we need times where we weep and we need times where we mourn. But we also need to have times where we laugh. We need to have times where we even dance. What is dancing? Dancing in the Bible oftentimes is associated with great joy, great rejoicing. You're just having a really good time. And when we have times of weeping and mourning, we need to have those because they have a specific purpose. Not just my life is mourning. My life is woe. My life is just a constant state of distress. I mean, when you have actual serious things that happen to you, like a physical damage to your body, that's a time to weep, you know? Some kind of physical pain or ailment, or maybe you lose a loved one. That's a great time to have weeping and mourning for someone. You go through some great afflictions, you have something really bad happen to you, and there's a time to weep and mourn, and we need to weep and mourn. But your life should not just be a constant weeping and mourning. You need to have a lot of balance where you're having times to laugh and times to dance. So you say, "That's great, Pastor Shelley, but my life's just rough. You don't understand my life. If you understood my life, Pastor Shelley, you'd understand the affliction. I mean, it's just every day is evil." Well, I'm going to give you 5 ways to have a merry heart. 5 ways that I believe from the Bible that can help you. If you say, "Hey, sometimes I feel like I'm really down. I feel like I have a lot of affliction. I just feel like things are just evil." Here's some ways to help you have that merry heart and have more of a continual feast in your life. Go to look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. "Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion, For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? One of the biggest ways that you can actually have joy in your life is to work. Having something to do. Doing more. When you have nothing to do, it's going to cause you to constantly be in this state of just affliction or suffering or be low or be very depressed or have, you know, mental problems. We need stuff to do. God designed us to have things to do, to have a job, to work hard. And when we're not doing those things, it can make you feel really down. You know, as a man, we've been created to work. And if I didn't have a job to go to, it could be very depressing. I could feel really low about that. If I have no task to do at work even, maybe I have a job, but when I'm showing up, they're not giving me any work. They're not putting me in charge of anything. They're not letting me do anything. You can feel really down about that. So having work is actually going to bring you a lot of joy in your life. Go, if you would, to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Now, the problem is, though, a lot of times what people will do is they'll purposefully make themselves slothful, and then it causes them to go into a depression. It causes them to be even more lazy. The Bible says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now, the Bible's taking this to an extreme. He's saying, like, the guy that's just the epitome of slothfulness, he's hungry, but just the thought of just bringing his hand up just to put some food in his head, it's just like, oh, it's just so much affliction. And I mean, we've felt like this before, right? Maybe you've been sitting on the couch all day. You've just been taking a real lazy day. And just the thought of getting up and getting that bag of chips is just so woeful. I mean, like, I would eat chips. But, I mean, the pantry's way over there. And I'd have to get up. And I'm snuggled in this blanket. And I'm reclined. Whenever you feel really slothful, when you're acting very slothful and you're just kind of laying around all day, you can get to a point where even just walking over and opening the fridge door or making a meal or just getting that cup of water, it just sounds so tiring. You're like, oh, it just sounds so exhausting. I don't want to even do that. But that's what life is like. When you put yourself in a slothful position and you're acting slothful, it breeds even more slothfulness and it brings depression. You're just like, oh, I don't even want to eat. You know, I don't even want to bring my hand to my mouth. Just laying around all day. Look at verse 13 of Proverbs 26. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. This is another place the Bible's mentioning this. It says, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Whenever you just lay around and you're just doing nothing, it's going to cause you to become slothful. It's going to cause just normal everyday tasks to become woeful. I can't even bring my own hand to my mouth. It's just so tiring. So we have to be careful how we, you know, plan our day. In fact, I looked at a study. It said too much sleep is hazardous to your health. If you just lay in bed all day, you're going to feel really tired. It's weird. It's like you would think the more sleep you get, the better you would feel. But if you get too much sleep, I can attest to this. I always feel way worse. Now, I looked at this article. It said if you get over 9 hours of sleep, that's kind of the threshold. If you start getting more than 9 hours of sleep, you can actually start to feel more tired than if you'd gotten less sleep. It said also you're at a higher risk of diabetes, of heart disease, stroke, and death. Just by getting too much sleep. You know, the Bible constantly warns, like, awake, thou sluggard, you know, arise, you know. So we need to get up sometimes and go do stuff, and you'll actually feel better. You know, that initial grogginess that you feel getting out of bed, you know, it'll actually go away when you get out. If you just continually lay in bed, though, and you do it too much, it'll get to the point where the whole day is just ruined. The whole day, you just feel so slothful and sluggish and just tired. So we need to be careful. And in fact, it also messes with your brain. The Bible says the sluggard, he's wise in his own conceit. You actually start feeling really depressed or you feel really down. You start, your outlook on look is just, everything's just so hard. Everything is just so difficult. You know, oh man, there's a lion in the streets. I can't even go out. I mean, there's just so much traffic. I mean, if I got out of bed at this point, there's just so much traffic, and the days is going to be long. You start getting that attitude of that person that says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. They're just like, oh man, this is a rough day. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Not only when you just lay around, you're lazy, you're just constantly dreaming of things to have. Oh, I just wish I had those grapes and those chips and all this food, and I wish I had all these things. You just start desiring all these things. You know, there's been a lot of times when I get up, and if I have a really important day as far as work, or I have to do a lot of tasks, if I just start working, and I'm just working really hard, and I'm not really thinking about other things, I could skip breakfast and not even realize it. I mean, it's not like I'm purposely trying to skip breakfast. It's just you're just working, and all of a sudden it's like 2, and you're like, man, I'm hungry. What happened? I haven't even thought about eating. But if you wake up and you're doing nothing, you're going to be like, man, I need some food. Man, I'm just starved. You haven't even done anything. You haven't even done any work, and your stomach's just like growling, and you're just thinking about all this different food, and you just want food. And as soon as I eat anything, then all of the hunger demons awaken, okay? I can't just snack. If I have a little bit of food in the morning, I have to eat like a whole breakfast because I can't just eat a little bit. And that's kind of how the sluggard is. He sits there, he samples, and then it's just like, oh man, I just got to eat more and more and more and more. It says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? If you don't do any work, you're going to be a sluggard. You're going to have depression. You're going to feel bad about yourself. You're going to literally physically feel bad. You're going to mentally feel bad. We are designed to do work today. I'm not looking to just sleep my way into heaven. No, I want to actually do things and accomplish things with my life. And in fact, it'll make you feel better. You say, hey, I want to have a merry heart, Pastor Shelley. How do I do it? Work. We have to have work. Do things to do. And when I say work, I'm not saying you have to have a job. There's a lot of ways to do work that have nothing to do with having a job. You can do work around the house. You can do work for yourself. If you're self-employed, you don't have a boss to answer to, but you know what? You should still do work. You'll feel very accomplished in the work that you do. Hey, if you're retired, you can still do a lot of work. I know my father, he's retired, but he works harder than most people. He's constantly in his garden and doing a lot of physical labor and has lots of things to do, and it keeps him very active. And even though my father, I'd have to remember, he's like 75 or 76, but his natural force has not been abated. He still looks, you know, like a normal man because he's constantly active. He's working. He's doing things. So that gives me hope that, hey, I can still be pastoring like fire, you know, already 75, 76, you know. But when you're sleeping and sitting around and being lazy, it's going to make you depressed. Now, some people, they say, okay, well, I get out of bed, Pastor Shelley. I get out of bed, and then I go sit on the couch, and I turn on the TV. Well, now you're going to have the same problem. I looked at a lot of articles. According to the Nelson Report, United States adults are watching 5 hours and 4 minutes of television per day. That's a lot. That's a lot of just sitting. Your body's doing nothing. It's just sitting there and just being a sluggard. And you have the same effects as the person that sleeps too much as the person that's just sitting and just watching TV for 5 hours. You know how much time that is a year? 77 days of just doing nothing. 77 days. And that's the average. Some people are helping this average, you know, be as high as it is. Some people are obviously a lot lower. BigThink.com says a study in psychology today proves what was long thought true. Too much TV makes you depressed. It also revealed another surprising tidbit of information. Unhappier people tend to watch more TV. So it kind of has this bad cycle. You get depressed and then you just want to watch TV, and that makes you more depressed, and then you just want to watch more TV, and then you just get this perpetual cycle of just sitting around, doing nothing, feeling bad about yourself, and the only cure has now become television. The only cure is just to look at something. CBSNews.com says a study published Thursday found people who binge watch television tend to be among the most depressed and lonely. Did you binge watch this episode? No, I don't want to be depressed and lonely. You're a survivor, you know. Or whatever show it is that they get addicted to. And look, TV shows are highly addictive. I remember there was a TV show that I didn't even know anything about it. it was like several seasons had gone by, and then all of a sudden someone showed me this show called 24. And this show is the most highly addictive show I've ever seen, because every episode just ends with the biggest cliffhanger. And you just like, I have to watch and see what happens. I have to know what's going on. And I mean, you could just watch hours and hours and hours of this programming. It's designed like that on purpose. They want you to stick around. They want you to endure those horrible commercials that are just awful. ShamWow. You're like, who would watch this? You know, who would just watch television if it was only commercials? No one. So they have to try and make it as addictive as possible for you to stay tuned. And they'll even do that right before the commercial, like, stay tuned, up next, this is going to happen. Why? Because they just want to get you to keep watching and just keep watching. Hey, after this show, a new show is coming on, and then the next show, and you can just watch it until you just die. That's the goal of the television industry. It says, for the study, the researchers surveyed 316 young people about their television viewing habits. The study participants, all between the ages of 18 and 29, also answered questions about how frequently in life they experience feelings of depression and loneliness. The researchers found the people who reported more feelings of depression and loneliness tended to watch more television. The study also found problems with self-control were associated with excessive television. In many instances, some viewers reported they were unable to stop clicking next on their remote controls, even after they had other important tasks to complete. I have to write that paper, but next. Next show. Just keep going. They'll just put off things that are important because you just get so entrapped by the deception of the television. And that is their goal. That is their aim. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make you just sit there and just watch and gorge on the television. It says the television viewing habit doesn't only cause a person to become less productive. It also impacts physical health. Watching television is a sedentary activity that frequently goes hand in hand with eating. Look, watch the Food Network. You'll be eating by the end of that show. That show is just, you're just looking at all that food. You're just like, man, that looks great. I remember one night, I'm confessing my faults today, okay? One night, me and my wife were watching the Food Network, and it was like the best burger. And it's just like burger, they're going to the different places and showing these best burgers. Before I know it, I'm at Walmart buying, you know, it's like midnight. I'm at Walmart buying, you know, some hamburger meat and coming home and grilling some burgers. I didn't need a burger at midnight, but because I'm just watching this show, it just impacts me. And I'm like, I have to eat this. But you know what? Then you feel depressed. And you feel down after you go through those experiences. And then you didn't get a good night's sleep. And then you wake up in the morning heavier and unhappier. And you're just like, I got to turn the TV back on. Oh, I got to get more. Look, it doesn't make you happy. It says, actually do this too. If you have an iPhone, pull it out. This is the one time to actually get your phone. If you have an iPhone, get it out right now, okay? Because here's the thing. People say, hey, I don't watch TV. So they just replaced it with the internet and their phone. Now, if you get your iPhone out, go to settings, all right? Click on that settings button, all right? And then just kind of, you can like kind of pull down a little bit. It'll bring up your search bar, okay? And then type in screen time. Screen time. It's an inbuilt app in your phone. It tracks everything you do. Now, after you click on screen time, you know it's going to pop up how much you look at your phone for the day. And if you click on that chart, it'll pop up and it'll show you how much you've looked at it for the last 7 days. Now, they've done studies on how much people are looking at their phones. It says that the average person looks at their phone 3 hours and 15 minutes a day. So it's not like they changed, you know, well, I don't watch TV. Now it's just their phone. Now it's just the internet. Or sometimes it's all three, you know. Sometimes it's 5 hours watching TV and 3 hours on the phone and like a few hours on the computer. It's crazy. And you can even, it breaks it down by what category that you're even doing. So it'll say how much you're spending on entertainment, how much time you're spending on productivity, how much time you're spending on reading. It'll even break down these charts. You know, and I looked at my stats, they were bad, all right? Now, some of us, you know, that work where we need to use our phone, obviously that's a part of your life, okay? I'm not trying to be down on any of us, okay? I'm just saying, look, we need to evaluate where we're putting our time and energy because it has an effect on our mind. It has an effect on our life and how we feel about certain things. You know, it'll tell you how much you're spending on social networking. Now, there's an app that you can download. It's called the Rescue Time app. It's designed to track all your progress on your phone and tell you, you know, how much time you're wasting on certain activities and what's being productive. It says that they took data of 11,000 users using the app, and their average is 3 hours and 15 minutes. And he says that's just average. The top 20% smartphone users spend over 4.5 hours on their phone. He says most people check their phones 58 times a day. That's a lot. 58 times a day. 30 of those during work hours. So instead of just being busy doing work, they're just checking their phone. Now, hey, maybe your business involves taking a lot of calls or constantly looking at your phone, monitoring emails. Obviously, our phones can be a great tool and a great asset. But sometimes people are checking their phone 30 times for Facebook notifications. And, you know, hey, have I beaten this new little app game? I just try to delete all app games off my phone because I'm highly addicted to all of them. You know, I don't even know what the new ones are, but I'm addicted to all the old ones, all right? I mean, Candy Crush or whatever game it is that you want to play. I mean, I've been there, done that. Words with Friends. I mean, you know, you can just suck the life out of you with your phone. The phone will just suck all the life out of you. It's like the Native Americans say that pictures take your spirit or whatever when they take a picture of you. It's like the phone just sucks it out. Now, it says that 70% of the time when you check the phone, that 58 times, it was less than 2 minutes. You just constantly like, did she call? Did she call? No, I'm just kidding. 25% of the sessions are 2 to 10 minutes long, and 5% of the sessions are more than 10 minutes. And that adds up to about 3 hours and 15 minutes. So look, when you're just sitting around, just constantly looking at your phone or looking at television or looking on the internet, these things have an effect on you. And I liken it unto sugar. You know, if you're hungry, you can just pop in a couple M&Ms and you'll feel good in that moment, but it doesn't last long. Then all of a sudden you want to pop in a few more M&Ms and a few more M&Ms. That's kind of how your phone and TV work. They only really last as long as you're watching it, as long as you're experiencing it, as long as you're going through. As soon as you put the phone down, all of a sudden you're like, bored again. All right. Check stuff, look at stuff, put it up. Oh, it doesn't have any long-lasting effects. And it actually will make you feel worse when you have to put it down. It kind of gives you a high and then it's like, oh. If you just keep it away, you can do other things that give you a longer high, give you a longer feeling, better attitude. What does one of those work? Men, they can go to work and work 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours that day. They're good for the rest of the day. Yeah. They don't need to do any more work. They're like, I'm good. I feel great. And if you work really hard and you accomplish a lot in 8 hours, you can feel great the rest of the day. True. You can feel wonderful the rest of the day. And then you wake up the next day, do it all again. And then do it all again. Just keep doing it. And you'll feel great. Why? Because working has a longer effect. You actually can rejoice in that and feel joy and happiness from the works that you do, not just while you're doing them, even afterwards, even after accomplishing things. In fact, whenever I'm building something or working on something, whenever I finally finish, it's like great. I mean, it's like the best. You know, you're like, you can look at it. You can admire your work. You can feel accomplished in something that you did. You can enjoy the fruit of your labor. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. You know, we ought to start looking at the day as, hey, I have a lot of work to do. That's good. Other people say, hey, I have a lot of work to do. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Oh, man, I just have all these things I have to accomplish. Look, if you look at work, at life as, oh, man, I'm going to have to fight traffic today. Yeah, every day. Oh, man, I have to answer calls, and I have to answer emails, and I have to talk to my boss. And look, if you just already had those expectations, you can look at it as like, hey, I got a lot of work to do. I'm excited. I'm going to get it all knocked out, and then I'm going to feel great after I knocked it all out. Or you could just be like, I just want to check my phone. I just want to lay in bed a little bit longer. Well, you don't realize that it's going to have a negative effect on you. It's going to cause you to feel worse. And then when you don't get that work done, you're going to feel even worse and worse and worse. It's just a downward spiral effect. If you already have a merry heart, you're looking forward to the work that you have, that's going to be great. And we ought to make afflictions be really afflictions. Some people, they're going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to have lost their child. They're going to have lost their health. They're going to be in the hospital bed. They're going to lose their arm. They're going to lose their finger. They're going to have like real pain. They've lost their job. They're, you know, those are afflictions. You know, oh, I have to fight traffic. Well, the guy that just lost his job, he'd be excited to have to go fight traffic to go to that job. You know, I had to change diapers today. Well, the person that lost their child would love to go change a bunch of diapers today. You know, we ought to let affliction be affliction. And hey, when you have affliction, weep, mourn, feel sad, be depressed, you know, for a little bit. Feel down about a bad situation. That's okay. But we need to pick our spirits up and we need to have a merry heart and we need to look at the work that we have and be joyous for the work that we have. Exodus 20 verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The Bible says man was created to work for 6 days. That's a lot of days. Now another way that we can feel better, not just by working, but even just exercise. If you're a man and you have a job that doesn't require anything physically, sometimes you're losing out on some extra endorphins that you could receive from having a physical labor job. So one way to feel better and have a merry heart is to exercise. By getting some type of exercise, by, you know, releasing some of these endorphins and hormones, you will feel better. WebMD.com says, many studies show that people who exercise regularly benefit with a positive boost in mood and lower rates of depression. It says improved self-esteem is a key psychological benefit of regular physical activity. When you exercise, your body releases chemicals called endorphins. These endorphins interact with the receptors in your brain that reduce your perception of pain. So here's the thing. If I look at my phone for an hour in the morning, as soon as I put that down, I'm going to feel bad, depressed, and lonely, and I'm going to want to pick it back up again. But if I go work out for 15, 20 minutes, you know what? That's going to last for a long time. Those endorphins are going to kick in for a long time, and I'm going to feel better for a very long time after doing those activities, doing those things. Why? Because God has created our bodies to do work, to get some exercise, to get up and be physical in motion. Look, he gave you muscles not to just flex. Ooh, look how strong I am. No, it's actually to work. He built our bodies to endure a lot of physical things. Even the woman in Proverbs 31, you know, she girded her loins with strength and she strengtheneth her arms. That wasn't, you know, just to sit around. It's to do work, to hold a baby. Holding a baby is hard. You know, there's some women, they can hold a baby longer than a man just because they get used to holding that 20, 30 pounds for, you know, hours on a day. You try to hold a 20, 30 pound child for 2 hours, your arm will feel like it's going to fall off. I mean, that's hard work. God created women to have strength in some places, okay? They have really strong thigh muscles and leg muscles. Why? For giving birth, you know? Giving birth can be a very physically demanding task. It says that whenever you're done running, it says endorphins also trigger a positive feeling in the body, similar to that of morphine. So I just need drugs, Pastor Shelley. We'll go work out. Get that morphine high. It says, for example, the feeling that runs follows a runner or workout is often described as euphoric. That feeling known as runner's high can be accompanied by a positive and energizing outlook on life. It says, not only do you get a physical feeling of joy because you're done running. I mean, that's why I feel good. You have a positive outlook on life. I don't have to run anymore today. You know, I'm done. But seriously, if you run, if you do like a sprint, if you just do a little bit of sprinting, I mean, just all kinds of, you know, things in your body just fire and trigger, and it gives you a lot of, you know, feelings of endorphins, and you feel like, oh man, yeah, now I can just punch somebody, you know? I mean, you just feel like energized. Why? Because your body just went to an extreme level. But if you just lay around, it just says, I want to lay around more. More laying around. More tired. Why? Our body responds to the things that you're doing. Just like whenever you see a traumatic situation, you know, your body can just shoot in, you know, shock. And you're just like, whoa. And then all of a sudden you're energized, you have power. Your body responds to the things that you're doing. If you're working out, your body's going to respond. It's going to give you energy. You're going to feel better. I feel better after working 8 hours. If I work really hard, physical labor, 8 hours, the moment after that, I feel more energetic than if I just laid around for those 8 hours. Why? Because your body will respond to the things that you do. So here's some other things you can do to feel better. Read your Bible. There's some work that you can do Just reading your Bible will make you feel better. Just do the physical labor involved. I'm not even talking spiritually necessarily. Just read. Obviously, that's a benefit, and we'll get there in a minute. But just reading your Bible, doing that work will, you know, trigger things in your mind. You have to learn and you have to study. Just even studying your Bible, getting active with your mind, playing a sport, you know, playing a game. If you say, hey, I don't like exercising, well, you get a lot of free exercise when you play a sport. You know, just playing basketball, running around, playing football or something. I noticed that I could run a lot longer playing a sport than if I was just going to go running. Going running gets really boring and tiring, and I don't really enjoy it that much. But if I could play basketball for hours, or I could, you know, play football for hours, I can run for like 5 minutes. You know, it's interesting how those things work. But having fun, you know, just letting these endorphins kick in, you will feel better. You can have a merry heart by doing these activities. Soul winning. It's work. You know what? After soul winning, you have this, you know, high. If you just got somebody saved and you pulled them out of the fire, you can feel really great for hours upon hours afterwards. Way better than just looking at, you know, Facebook. I'm sorry. I never like, man, I went through my newsfeed for an hour. I just feel so good. Energy high. Yeah, woo! I never feel that way. And look, I'm not saying that all these things are bad. I'm not saying that you can't enjoy yourself and relax at times, but I'm just helping you realize you actually can feel really good after going soul winning. Amen. For an hour or 2 hours or however long it is. You know, and for women, they have lots of things they could do. Even if you don't have an actual job that you go to, just cooking more. You know, cooking a great meal, you can feel really good. You get to enjoy it afterwards. That's a great benefit. I love a really well-cooked meal, getting to enjoy that food. You know, you could clean more. The more you clean, oftentimes, you can get a high after just looking at your house and it's just all clean, it's all tidy. You're like, kids, you're not allowed to go anywhere. Just sit down. Don't talk. Don't move. Why? But you get a little bit of a high after you do some of these activities. Doing a deep clean can make you feel really happy. Getting rid of junk. Finally cleaning out that closet. You know, going through and cleaning out the car. Cleaning out these things. You're like, nope, we're not going to eat in the car again. You know, it lasts for a couple weeks or whatever. But you get that car nice and shiny one time. You're like, we're not eating the car anymore, all right? You know, preparing curriculum for your children if you're homeschooling. You know, planning ahead. Getting prepared. You know, thinking of these things. Learning to sew, getting activities or hobbies that you like to do. These things will make you feel better, have some kind of a mental high. Going shopping for deals, you know, just going out, getting to see places. You know, different stores have different products at different prices. It's not like just one store is always the cheapest. Certain stores have different items and goods that have different rates. So maybe you just go out and do some shopping. It'll make you feel better. You'll feel accomplished just saving a few extra dollars or finding a really good value or finding a really good buy. Women oftentimes, they'll feel really good after they're like, man, did you see I got a really good sale on this good or this item or these things? It can help you feel better than if you just sit around and do nothing all day. If you just sit around and you don't really accomplish anything, you're just going to keep feeling more depressed and more afflicted, and it's a downward spiral. You know, you could take your kids to the park. You could take your kids on a play date. You could do some homeschool field trips of your own. Say, hey, we want to go to the museum. Sometimes if you look up deals, there's places where you can go for free. You can go to the zoo for free on certain days. You can go to museums on certain days for free. You can go around and do a lot of these things. You will feel so much better when you do these things. You could reorganize your furniture. I know that I've heard women like to do that. You could plant flowers. You could do yard work. You could do all these different types of things. And why do I say that? Go to Leviticus chapter 12. If you look at studies, it says women are almost twice as likely as men to have depression. And you say, where's the depression and these feelings coming from? Well, it could be in a two-part. It'd be coming from just a physical problem, or it could be coming from just, you know, a spiritual or mental type problem. And so it's important to look at both, but especially after women give birth, they're naturally, their body is going to go into kind of a more negative state. It's called postpartum. They have their hormones are just trying to figure out what the heck just happened. They don't know what really went on. And since they're kind of coming down on a low, their emotional state can oftentimes go with those hormones and they can just feel low. They can feel kind of down. They can feel kind of depressed. And it makes a lot of sense because right after you give birth, you're probably just laying around, sitting, sleeping more, doing these things. So obviously your body's going to naturally kind of just feel this way, feel a little bit more down. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation of her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled." So the Bible says that after birth, it takes a while for a woman to recover. And at first, it's giving the idea of her giving birth to a man-child, to a boy. It's saying it takes her at least 33 days after this to be fully recovered. So I don't expect any mother that just gave birth to show up to the Wednesday night service when they gave birth in the morning. That's ridiculous. In fact, don't. Please don't. Please take it easy. Please take a break. You know, in fact, I don't think that women should come back even within 2 weeks of giving birth. Period. Why do they get out and get their baby possibly sick and expose it to lots of kinds of germs? You know, you should try your best to just stay home and keep your baby safe and rest and take it easy. Now look, you do whatever you want. I'm just saying, like, I don't expect women to come back within weeks of giving birth, and I don't even want them to. I want them to take it easy and take a break. And even says if she has a female child, this is in verse 5, but if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks as her in separation. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. That is 60 and 6 days. Now, I'm not saying that this is the formula of you have to wait 33 days to return back to church, or you have to wait 60 and 6 days to come back to church. But in order to go to the sanctuary in the Old Testament, you did. You weren't allowed to go at all. You had to wait that amount of time. And obviously, there's some level of uncleanness. I think that women need to take a serious break. They need to, you know, protect themselves, give themselves some time to rest, to feel better, to fully recuperate. Because here's the thing. If you injure yourself in any way, man or woman, and you don't take it easy, your recovery time is longer. If I, you know, pull a muscle in my thumb, if I strain my thumb, but I keep working on it and I keep working with it and doing things with my hand, it could take twice or three times as long to recover from that. We need women to take it easy, stay home, don't, you know, go and exert yourself too much. You want to recover. And this is in the case that there wasn't even a complication. Sometimes women even have complications or they have some kind of difficulty in the pregnancy. They need to have plenty of time to recover. And we as men need to pick up that slack. We need to try our best to help them recover. You know, cook a few meals if you have to. You know, pop in that TV dinner, whatever it is. You know, just make mac and cheese for the kids every night. They'll be excited. You know, whatever it is you got to do, just help them. You know, be a blessing unto them. Try to encourage them. In fact, one thing my wife does to even help herself is she'll just try to cook a bunch of meals early and freeze them. And then we just have lasagnas and burritos or whatever that we can just kind of heat up. We don't even have to worry about me making a meal because it's a 50-50, all right? And I have this personal tradition. The day that she gives birth, I always cook like a steak. We have a steak dinner. She worked really hard, so I'll cook a big meal on the day that she gave birth so she can just relax, and it's something to look forward to. But look, we need to try and encourage women to fully recover. But here's the thing. Obviously, if you're kind of bedridden or you're kind of taking it easy, that could promote those negative feelings, couldn't it? It could promote that afflicted feeling. So it's still just as important to try to do some level of work to try and engage yourself so that you don't go into these extreme levels of depression. It says in this article, postpartum mood can range from transient blues immediately following childbirth to an episode of major depression and even to severe incapacitating psychotic depression. I mean, they can have some serious ramifications from the hormone levels that they're going through. It says, studies suggest that women who experience major depression after childbirth very often have had prior depressive episodes, even though they may not have been diagnosed. So it's just a reality. If your wife feels down after giving birth, it's normal, guys. We need to help them and encourage them and get some ideas to help them do some work so that they can feel a little bit better through the day. Here's some things. Reading books, you know, just getting some novels and some things that you like. You can feel a lot better after reading a book than watching television. You can think about the story. You learn new words. It's more engaging. You know, you could study a foreign language. You could play an instrument. You could learn more songs, take a hymnal home, and learn some new songs. Learn some ones that you liked. You could memorize some of the Bible. How about memorize Proverbs 31? How about memorize the chapters that we're going through, and then when you come back, hey, you get that prize. I mean, you're just sitting there, and it doesn't. You can just sit there and learn how to memorize the Bible. You could write. You know, some women like to do a blog, or they like to journal, or they like to do different things. Writing is a very good exercise that you can work on. Usually women have better handwriting than men anyways. You know, you could learn calligraphy. You could have the really cool handwriting. I don't know how they do that, but it's impressive. You could pray more. You know, it's interesting. You talk to women, or you just ask women to be honest about themselves. You say, hey, do you feel like you do as much praying and Bible reading and these things as you want to in your day? And they're like, no, I wish I had more time. Well, now all of a sudden you have lots more time. So take advantage of that time. Take advantage. Hey, now I can do a little bit more prayer. I can get myself in good habits of praying and reading the Bible and doing these things, and you'll feel so much better. You could call people. Don't women like calling you? Call people. Call your grandmother and your grandfather you haven't talked to in a while. Call, you know, people that you wanted to have that relationship with. You could do some planning. You could look forward to when you are fully recovered. Hey, make some plans for, hey, I'm gonna try this new recipe. We're gonna go try these new activities. We're gonna go and do these things. But try to stay active. You know, try to get some things to do and to think about, and even do a little bit of exercise as much as healthy. Get up, walk around, whatever, you know, is at your level of comfortability, what stage you're in. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Now that was, you know, a lot of just me giving you practical examples. I want to look at a lot more Bible in the latter part of this sermon to help you. But we kind of been looking at the physical. And the reality is, if you want to have a merry heart, it's going to come through work. You ask the bum on the street today if he's happy. He's not happy. The people that don't have work, that have nothing to do, they're unhappy, they're not satisfied, they don't have a merry heart. They think that just waking up in the morning is a drudgery. They don't like waking up in the morning. The people that have a lot to do, they have a lot to look forward to, they have exciting things happening in the future, it'll give them a merry heart. They can be excited about the stuff that's going to happen the next day. Now, another way that you can feel better, have a merry heart, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." Now, this comes in from our first point really well in the fact that, hey, if you work hard, you sleep better. The more work that you accomplish, the more you can sleep. If you just laid around and were lazy all day, you won't even want to go to bed. If you just sit and look at your phone all day, you won't want to go to bed. If I just look at my phone or computer, I could stay up all night. If you start reading the Bible, it's like out instantly. Start reading Leviticus, I mean, you're just like snoozing. You don't have to try. I'm trying to stay awake, and I'm like, But you can sit there on the phone, just like, you know, just for hours. It's just the glow. You're like, So we need to work hard, and when we work hard, hey, you can go to bed like this. You know, man, as my life has gone on, I just feel like I have to do more work, more work, more work, more work. And man, if I lay down right now, I could fall asleep like this. And it's not because I'm special. It's just like, if you're just doing a lot of work and you're really exerting yourself, you can go to sleep quickly. It's easy. But if you just stare at your phone and do nothing all day, it's really hard, no matter who you are. So you need to take care of yourself. Because if you do that, you're not going to get a lot of sleep. And when you don't get a good night's sleep, you also can feel bad. You can also feel groggy. You don't want to get too much sleep, but you also don't want to get enough sleep. If you don't get enough sleep, you just feel bad, and you have headaches, and you're just frustrated, and it just gets in this bad cycle. You need to work hard so you can sleep, so you can get a good night's sleep. Now, I looked at an article, nypost.com. It says, "Binge watching your favorite TV shows is bad for your mental health, and stops you from sleeping. A new survey suggests more than half of people surveyed admitted they experienced mental health issues after completing a series. After you finish that 24, you're going to be like, oh, I feel terrible. You know, the woman president, who had that? That was weird. But, you know, if you exercise, you'll feel a lot better and you'll go to bed easier. It says, being active can help reduce stress, anxiety, and depression, and can help you get to sleep. Even if it's just a brisk walk, it's important to get the blood pumping and will help keep you away from the box set, Jarvis said. Research shows that going outside can improve mental health, boost self-esteem, improve physical health, and reduce social isolation. But don't exercise too close to bedtime, as you'll need time to wind down. Working out is so effective that if you work out a lot towards the bedtime, you can't even go to sleep in either. Just work out earlier in the day, you know, do your work throughout the day, and then at night you're going to be like, I'm ready to go to bed. Read your Bible at the end of the day. But don't put all of your Bible reading at the end of the day, because then you'll never read the Bible. But read a lot of the Bible in the morning, exercise, work hard, and then at night you say, I don't know what to do. Put the phone in airplane mode, hide it, pull out your Bible, and you'll snooze. And then you can wake up in the morning and check and see nobody called you anyways, all right? Because I'm with my wife. She's the one that calls me. No, I'm just kidding. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter number 5. It's important that you take care of yourself. Here's another attribute that the homeless people don't have. They don't take care of themselves. You wonder why they're so depressed and they just want drugs constantly? Well, first of all, they don't work. And then secondly, they don't take care of themselves. They don't bathe. They don't get good night's sleep. They don't shower. They don't do anything. And they just feel like garbage. Have you ever just been dirty and kind of gross and you just feel bad on top of that? But then you take a shower, you brush your teeth, all of a sudden you feel so much better. That's how you can have a merry heart. You have a merry heart by taking care of your body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The Bible likens the importance of loving your wife as loving your physical body. And we need to take care of our own physical bodies. He's using a carnal truth to expound a spiritual truth, and that carnal truth is take care of yourself. You say, hey, I don't take care of myself. I never bathe, I never brush my teeth, and I just always feel bad. I have a cure. Brush your teeth, bathe, get a good night's sleep. You will feel better. Go to Matthew chapter number 6, Matthew chapter number 6. The Bible even proves this further in another place. Matthew chapter number 6. So we're just taking some wisdom from other passages of the Bible. We're taking some of the carnal truths of the Bible and we're applying them to our lives to feel a little bit better. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. So the Bible's saying, hey, when you fast, does that feel good? Is for going eating feel good? Let me help you out. It doesn't. It's an affliction. Okay? All the days of the afflicted are evil. But you know what? You can have a merry heart. How can you have a merry heart? It says wash your face. Anoint yourself with oil. Saying when you take care of yourself physically, it can help you, even though you're physically suffering a little bit, to feel better. It's doing it so you'll feel better, you'll look better, you'll act better, because he doesn't want you to go around and be like, I'm just so hungry. Oh, I'm so spiritual, though, because I'm fasting today. I just love the Lord so much. Oh, I could just eat a burger right now. You know, I haven't bathed. I'm not eating. You know, they're even disfiguring their face. They're like, I just feel bad. I haven't eaten. He's saying, hey, no, wash your face. You know, anoint your head with oil. Get dressed in the morning. Look sharp. Go out. People don't know if you've eaten or not. I have no idea what you ate yesterday. I have no idea what you ate this morning, if you ate or not. It doesn't really matter. And you can just put on a smile on your face and you can have a merry heart even when fasting. Why? Because you're taking care of your body. Go to Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 27. So my first point is we need to work. Second point, we need to take care of ourselves. My third point, and this verse is going to lend ourselves to point two and three, but it says in Proverbs 27, verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So hey, even smelling good. You know, if you smell bad, you'll feel bad. If you smell good, you'll feel good. So even anointing yourself and smelling good, taking care of yourself, but look at the latter part. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Another way to have a merry heart is by having friends, by having fellowship with other people. Hey, if you're working hard and you're taking care of yourself and you're having fellowship with other people, you can have a merry heart. Now, how do you have fellowship with people? Well, look at verse 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Just by seeing your friend, it can just bring a smile to your face. Go backwards to chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18. We gain friends by being friendly. You say, hey, I don't have any friends. Well, be nicer. Go be friendly to somebody. And look, if they don't want to be your friend, just say, all right, see ya. I'll be friendly to this guy. And then I'll be friendly to that guy. And they'll be friendly. And eventually someone's going to be like, I like that. I want to be friends with you too. And then you form a friendship. Don't get burnt. The first person that doesn't want to be your friend, don't be like, well, nobody wants to be my friend now. No, just go to the next guy. Go try to be friends with another person. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You should just try to be as friendly to as many people as possible, and then you'll have more friends. Now, here's another way to have more friends. Go to church. You know what will make you feel better? Going to church. You'll actually feel really good. If you just slept in this morning and you wake up at 12, you'll feel horrible. But if you actually get up, go to church, see your friend, it'll give a smile on your face, then you'll feel better. Hey, here's another way to have friends. Invite people over that you met at church. Hey, let's go to lunch. And he says, I'm busy. All right, let's go to lunch. I'm busy. Hey, I'm taking you to lunch. Let's go. You know, if you get rejected by one person, just go to the next person. If you want to have friends, just keep inviting people to go do stuff. Eventually, you'll have some friends. Eventually, people will want to hang out with you. And if no one wants to be your friend, then you're the problem, right? No, I'm just kidding. Cook a meal for someone. Have fellowship. I bet your friend wouldn't be that disappointed that you're like, hey, we made a really great meal. We want to bring it over to you. Is that okay? Sure. Great. You know, go soul winning with someone. That'll make you feel better. Two are better than one, is what the Bible says. Hey, when you fall, your friend can pick you up out of the ditch. Go, take someone to dinner. Take someone out to dinner. That's even better. They're like, I don't know about your cooking. Say, hey, I want to take you to dinner. They're like, let's go. I'm excited. They might not even like you. They're just excited about dinner. And then you get a friend. It's like a win-win. No, I'm just kidding. Help people in a time of need. You know, it'll make you feel really good on the inside when someone that you see has a problem and you just go help them. Hey, they need to move in and they don't have any help. I'll go help them move in. Hey, this person's feeling sick. I'm going to go help run some errands for them. Hey, this person needs help with their kids. I'm going to go and we'll play with their kids. Or whatever the situation is, when someone's in need and you go help them, you will feel better. It'll make you feel great. Helping other people will infuse some joy into your life. Go through it to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. Song of Solomon says, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. You know, it'll make you feel really great, a spouse. Having fellowship with your spouse will make you feel good. It makes you feel great. It's a close friend. The Bible says in Proverbs 5, verse 18, let the fountain of be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice with your wife. Be excited to hang out with your wife. Have fellowship with your wife. You will feel better and she will feel better. I guarantee if I ask every wife in this room, what's one thing you want more than anything right now? More fellowship with their spouse. It's not the money. It's not the cars. It's not a bigger budget. It's more time with their husband. It'll make them feel better. Genesis 24, verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she laid it off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Notice that he went through a very bad situation, truly something afflicted, but his wife was able to help comfort him in that situation. Let your spouse help you. Be the good spouse that gives joy into your wife's heart and into your husband's heart. Hey, if you want to have a merry heart, love on your spouse. And when you love on your spouse, it'll make you feel better. Now go, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. We've really been focusing on the carnal, okay? We've been focusing on, hey, I want to feel better physically. Do work. Take care of yourself. Have some friends. Have some fellowship with other people. These will make you feel better, and they'll fix some of the physical ailments. It's not drugs, my friend. It's not Zoloft. Zoloft doesn't work. It'll make you do crazy things at night, okay? Don't take the drugs. Take the friends. Take the exercise. Do some work. You know, have some joy in the physical things that God gave us. God gave us work to be enjoyed. God gave us, you know, taking care of ourselves to make us feel better. God gave us friends to make us feel better. But ultimately, if you really want to have a merry heart, your joy comes from the Lord. Matthew chapter number 6, look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Look, when you put God first in your life, you can have a merry heart. You say, hey, I'm going to make church the priority of my life. I'm going to make Bible reading the priority of my life. I'm going to make soul winning the priority of my life. You can have a merry heart no matter what the rest of it is going on. No matter what's going on physically, you can still have that merry heart. When you seek first the kingdom of God, he also promises you all those other problems are going to take care of themselves. Look, when you're seeking God first, he's going to make sure to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor has seed begging bread. Look, when you say, you know what? More important than my job is church, God's going to take care of you. When you say, more important than my family, church, God's going to take care of you. Hey, more important than my physical food is this Bible, God's going to give you the physical food. He's going to rain down manna from heaven if he needs to. Hey, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, he's going to take care of it. That's how you can just have a merry heart. You know, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast. You can just be feasting on the riches of God when you're seeking him first, when you're putting him first. I turn to 1 Peter 5. Go to Philippians 4. 1 Peter 5 says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God cares so much for you. Every single physical need, every kind of physical, you know, ailment that you might have in your mind, God cares, and you can cast it all upon him by being humble. What's humble? It's bringing yourself down. But when you bring yourself down, you're going to bring something up. True humility is not just bringing yourself down. It's at the same time bringing someone up. It's like a teeter-totter. Bad humility is when you just bring yourself down, but nobody's being brought up. When you say, hey, I need God, I need less of me, humility. When you say, I'm just a bad, stupid person, that's just fake humility. That's garbage. True humility elevates something above yourself. You say, hey, I want this guy to preach the sermon because he's a better preacher than me. That's humility. You say, hey, I want this person to do this activity because they're really good at it. True humility. When you say, hey, I need church, you're humbling yourself. You say, I need the Bible in the morning. You're humbling yourself. Why? Because you're elevating God. You're elevating the Word of God. This is true humility. And when you do this, you can cast all your care upon God. Say, you know what, God? I'm just going to seek you first, and I'll let you worry about taking care of all my problems. And he says, I got it. He loves it when you depend upon him, when you're seeking first him. Look, you're not going to come to church faithfully and be a great soul winner and trying to follow all God's commandments, and he's just like, nothing good is going to happen to you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide every single need. Now, might not be the 8-car garage that I saw yesterday when I was driving around. I was like, wow. Or 7. I don't know. It's like 7 or 8-car garage. I was like, that's crazy. You know, you got your golf cart and your three vans and your, I don't know what you have. That's so much room. But you know what? He's going to take care of you. For Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Look, when you think about problems constantly, you're going to be negative. If I'm only worried about problems, if I'm only worried about tomorrow's problems and issues, I'm just going to be negative and my day is going to be bad and I'm going to feel afflicted constantly. But if I say, Matthew 6, I'm not going to worry about those things. I'm just going to seek God. Now I can just be merry. Now I can just feel good. Now I can be, you know, rejoicing. And then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Meaning what? You could be going through the worst things physically imaginable and still be joyous. You know, after Job lost everything, he still praised God. How do you do that? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You want to have a merry heart, think on good things. If you're focused on all the negative stuff, on all the problems, on all the afflictions, you're going to feel afflicted. If you're thinking on all the good things, if you're thinking on all the things worthy of praise, if you're thinking on God, you're going to be merry. Look at verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, the Bible says, commit thy works in the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Hey, when I'm reading my Bible, you know what starts flooding my mind? Thoughts about the Bible. Hey, when I'm praying, you know what's coming to my mind? Thoughts about other people. Hey, when I'm doing things that are important, okay, I start thinking about those things. If I start watching TV, you know what I start thinking about? Television. Worldliness. Ungodliness. And you know what's on the television? Fornication and drugs and alcohol and filth and smut. That's not what the Bible just told us to think about. I don't want to put those things before my eyes. Hey, I just always look at Fox News. You know what's on Fox News? Fornication and adultery and alcohol and smut and lies. You're going to be thinking that way. Have you ever talked to somebody and they faithfully watch Fox News, they're a very upset person. They're going around just like, these Democrats, and I mean, man, the world's just so upside down, and everything's bad, and the sky is falling, and blah. They're just a product of what they've been feeding themselves. Hey, if you've been constantly feeding yourself with Psalms, you know, this guy's happy. This guy's joyous. This guy's constantly thinking on good things. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You say, I have all these bad thoughts. Well, start doing some good work, and then you'll have good thoughts. You'll actually think on the things that are good. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now we actually get this verse in context. What is he saying? He's saying, hey, even when you go through the most physical, tormenting times, you can still be joyous. You can still have that strength to go through. You can still have that merry heart and have the continual feast. Now let's see this in practice. Go to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. He says, hey, if you're content, what does it mean to be content? A state of peaceful happiness, a state of satisfaction, having no wants. You feel good. Happiness comes from being content. If you're always in want, if you're always in need of something, you're not going to be happy. You're always looking to something next. I can't wait for the next thing, for the next thing. If I had these, I'd be happy. That person won't be happy. If you say, hey, I'm glad I have all the things I already do, then you will be happy. You can be merry. He says, hey, even if he's suffering need, he can experience that and still be happy. You know, how do you do that, Pastor Shelley? There is within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Keeps me singing as I go. Just keep singing. Why? Because that sweet name of Jesus, not like these blasphemous, wicked devils. You know, even though I see this nasty, disgusting sign, I can keep singing because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in affliction, I can still be merry and happy and joyous because I'm going to wash my feet in the blood of the wicked one day. The Lord is going to recompense and we're going to shout for joy because the Lord is our Redeemer. Because the Lord is going to be with us. So no matter what affliction you go through, you can still sing. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and notice this, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. After being beaten, after being thrown in jail and being shackled, there's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. He just keeps singing. Why? No matter what affliction, he has a merry heart. He has a continual feast. If you want to have a continual feast, think on the Lord. Think of the blessings of the Lord. He has every reason to complain. You've been thrown in prison and been beaten and you're shackled. That's a time to complain. That's a time to be afflicted. He prays and then he sings songs. He sings praises unto the Lord. You know, the Bible says if you reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Hey, even though they speak evil of the Lord, hey, on your part he is glorified. And happy are you when you're approached for the name of Christ. I will take the name of Jesus with me. I feel great that I love the name of Jesus, that I don't blaspheme it like him. We can rejoice and be happy that he's our Savior, that we've trusted in him. I don't care about all that blasphemy. I can still be happy and have a merry heart. You know what? If I just think about negative things, just all the afflictions, we still have protesters and, you know, I wish God would kill him already, you know. It's like, hey, it'll happen. The Lord is going to take vengeance one day, all right? Yeah. Go to Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we give thanks to the Lord, when we're praising the Lord, you know what's going to happen? You're going to feel merry. You're going to feel happy. You're going to feel good. You can go through life actually having a good frame of mind. Now, the unsaved, they can follow those first 3 points and experience some levels of happiness, but they can't have the joy of a Christian who's seeking the Lord, who can go through actual physical torment and still be happy. The natural man can't understand how Paul can sing praises to God after going through what he did. The natural man can't. Why? Because it's the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You say, hey, I need some of that. Well, start seeking God. Start thinking about God. Sing praises unto God, and he can give you that peace. Psalms 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He says in verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. You know what? No matter what bad happens to me, if I can go to church every single time the doors are open and I can read my Bible every single day, I can be merry. You know what? The person that's not seeking God first, they're seeking their job first. They're seeking their family first. They're seeking these other things. They don't have as much joy because they don't wake up thinking, oh, I can't wait to serve God today. They're just thinking about how they didn't serve God. Look, seek God first and you can feel great. You can feel joyous. You can feel wonderful. If I go a day and I haven't read the Bible, I feel crappy at the end of the day. I feel bad. I feel groggy. I feel, ugh. If I actually seek first the kingdom of God, it makes me feel so much better in that new man. Now, I want to do one last point. Go to Psalms 92. Last place I'll return. Psalms 92. What have we looked at so far? Well, hey, if you want to feel better, if you want to have a merry heart, work. Do more work. You know, do more things. And look, all of us can do this, myself included. We all need to work more. Hey, you need to take care of yourself. Make sure you get a good night's rest. Anoint your head with oil. Take a shower. Brush your teeth. That'll help you with the fellowship point. Point number three. You know, if you're taking care of yourself, other people want to take, you know, hang out with you more. All right? Get some friends. Here's a great place to have friends. Church. Praise God you have a church with a bunch of people here that you can be friends with. A lot of wonderful people. I like everyone in here. You need to seek first the kingdom of God. And my last point is you need to count your blessings. When you start counting your blessings, it's hard to feel bad. When you think about all the good things that you have in your life, when you're thanking God for all the blessings you have, it's really hard to be down. I'll read for you. It says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." No matter what happens to me, I'm still going to heaven. And no matter what happens to me, he has new mercies every morning. I can always seek God's new mercies. That can give me a lot of joy. No matter what's happened, God still wants to use you. No matter what, you can always get back to church. You can always repent and come back to church. You can always read your Bible. You can always go soul winning. You can always serve God. I don't care who you are, what you've done. God has a purpose for your life. God wants you to be here. You have work to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and count the blessing of his mercy. What a blessing. Isn't it great that God doesn't just discard you and throw you in the trash after you messed up the 100th time, the 200th time, the 300th time? A just man falls 7 times, riseth up again. And it's through his mercies that we have joy in the morning. Psalms 92, verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound." The Bible constantly commands to give praise unto the Lord, to give thanks for the things he's done. Here's one. If you have a spouse, thank God for your spouse. Praise the Lord for your spouse. Hey, if you have children, praise God for your children. Every child is a gift. Every child is a blessing. Hey, if you have a church that you can go to, praise God and thank God you have a church that you can go to. Hey, if you have a King James Bible in your hand, praise God. You have the Word of God in your hand. You could have been born on the other side of the world. They don't even have a translation that you can go to and read the whole Bible. You're going to miss out on all kinds of wonderful scriptures. And they don't have a church that they can go to and hear the Word of God preached this morning. You ought to count those as blessings today and love them. People literally died for the King James Bible, for you to be able to hear the Word of God. Count that as a blessing today. Don't just say, oh, they're a dollar at the Dollar Tree. Yeah, it's a blessing. Hey, count the mercies of God, the salvation of God. You can always rejoice in your salvation, the fact that you're going to heaven. We don't even know how good heaven is. And if you think about that, that can give you joy. Hey, how about the missions trip we have at Reynosa McAllen? I'm excited. I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to eat good food. We're going to have good fellowship. We're going to do all of it. We're going to do the work, all right? We're going to take showers, all right? That's required, okay? We're going to have fellowship. We're seeking first the kingdom of God. And hey, we're counting a blessing that we get to go on this trip. I mean, it's just a package all in itself. Hey, I'm excited that we're going to have a chili cook-off. I'm excited that we're going to have fellowship. Hey, I'm excited that we have a conference in November. That's going to be joyous. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, and it's all the same package again. Hey, it's going to be work. You know, it's going to be a lot of hard work. Hey, we need to take care of ourselves for that one too. All right. We're going to have a lot of fellowship. We're seeking first God. And I'm very thankful that all these great preachers want to come here and bless us with some spiritual food. And hey, I'm excited we have church tonight. I mean, praise God. I get to go to church again tonight. Some people are like, oh,
I have to go to church again tonight and then drive home. I'm excited that I have church tonight.
I would be depressed if we said, hey, no more Sunday night service. No more soul winning on Sundays. In fact, we won't even use the Bible anymore. Let's use it as a commentary. You know, we don't want to offend anybody. We're never going to use the word faggot anymore. That would make me sad. I get excited. You know, we had preaching class last night. We had 11 guys come. They all...